finishing up our sermon series called Binge Reading the Bible. And I have to admit, I brought my favorite Bible in this morning. This thing is more duct tape than it is actual leather at this point. This has been on every mission trip. This has been to every service I have ever been a part of. This thing has been kicked and beaten and thrown and just not in a bad way. But it's been around the block a while. And inside of it are every note, little scribbles and everything else. This is my favorite Bible. About once a year, someone will see this sitting on my desk and they will feel pity for me. And they will go, "You're a pastor. You should have a nicer Bible. Y'all, people have put down like Cokesbury gift cards and Amazon gift cards on my desk with a note that says, buy a new Bible." So I do. And you know what ends up happening? I give it away. Because I will bring it and I will go through and y'all, I will highlight and I will write new notes in and I'll even put, like, y'all, this is every house that I've lived in since I've owned this Bible. Do you see that? That's a lot of places. This Bible's been around a while, but I'll write all that stuff in this new Bible, and then I will have somebody come up and go, "Pastor, I love that translation that you're reading. I just don't have the money, or I don't know where to get one of those." I'm like, "Well, here you go." You know why? Because I want to go back and read this one again. Because this is what? This is my Bible. This is my favorite one, and it's the one that I binge read. And we are finishing up this binge reading series, and we binge a lot of things these days, don't we? How many of you have ever binge-watched a television show? Just admit it. You know you have. If it's Friends, raise your hands. I know someone who's watched Friends 10 times all the way through. I've done that with Andy Griffith, I have to admit, but that's more from just watching it like every Sunday morning, and it was on a lot. We watched it a lot. I have friends who've watched The Office all the way through multiple times, Parks and Recreation, whatever it is. We tend to binge-watch a lot of stuff. But we don't always do that with our Bible. How often have you taken your Bible and you started reading and you just couldn't put it down? Now, you're in genealogy sections, I get it. It's hard to binge read that. But there's other parts of the Bible that we really need to be pouring into. I want to take you to 2 Timothy verses 3, 16 through 17 this morning. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work." This is the word of God for the people of God. Now, I have to admit, that equipped part is what we're going to focus on today. That equipped part is the important part of today's scripture, because it's the part that sends us out into the world. Now, I have to admit that when I think about equipping something, I am a guy who was a Boy Scout for a long time. I won't say I was an Eagle Scout because I didn't make it. I'm a life for life, if you know what that means. However, being a scout taught me something. It taught me to be prepared, right? And being prepared means you have a lot of equipment. Now, because of that, I love to go and spend time in the outdoors. I love to backpack. I used to rock climb a lot. I used to hunt a lot. I do all these kind of things. Matter of fact, 3 weeks ago on a Wednesday, I went backpacking with my son just because we could. Here's the picture. And if you notice, what's on our backs? Backpacks. Thank you for paying attention right there. Backpacks. And what is filled with the backpacks? There's tents and there's hammocks and there's little tricky stoves that are frankly a lot of trouble. There's water purifiers, there's food, there's sleeping bags. All this equipment allows us to go and do what? Go camping, go backpacking. Now, y'all, I've also spent a whole lot of time with people from other countries. And when I tell them that one of my hobbies is to take all this stuff and stick it on my back and walk into the woods to sleep on the dirt and get bitten by bugs, they look at me and they're like, "Why?" Because they're like, "Don't you have a house?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've got a house." They're like, "Does it have air conditioning?" "Sure does." "Have bugs?" "Not always, but you know, most of the time, no." They're like, "So why do you put all this stuff on your back and go places where you have to deal with this when you have a perfectly fine house at home?" You know, when they point it out like that, I wonder too. But, we do this. Scott and I love to go and camp like this. We do this because we want to experience something new. We equip ourselves so that we can go out and experience something that we can't experience back at home. And what we take back home are those experiences. Now, I would love to tell you that every time I have ever equipped myself to go backpacking, that everything works perfect. Actually, those are the trips that I never remember. I can tell you all the ones where things have fallen apart. Matter of fact, that very trip from that very picture, the next morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, we realized that we did not bring heavy enough sleeping bags, even in the middle of summer. And Scott wakes up and says, "Dad, I'm freezing. There's heat in the car. The car is 3 miles away." And he's like, "Can we go there?" Yes, we can, because Dad was cold too. Now, so here's the thing. We know that we should be binge reading the Bible. We know that we should be studying the Word of God. We know all of these things. But when we are equipped with the Word of God, we are prepared then to go out into the world and experience new things, and also to share the gospel and then to serve God's people. Look what it says in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. I'm reading from a common English Bible this morning. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age." The Word of God for the people of God. Now, here's Christ's last commandment to us. He said, "Go and make disciples." He didn't say just hang around your house. He said, "Go out, go forth, go and make disciples." But he also said that he would be with us. He would equip us to go and do those things. Now, why do we need to go and make disciples of all nations? The simple answer to this is that sin is a very real thing. And it is out in the world, and it can consume you, and it takes every bit of joy away from you, but there is one antidote to sin, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8 in the NLT. It says, "Those who are dominated by a sinful nature will think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit." So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That is why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. Y'all, we go out and share the gospel with people because sin can take over their lives. And sin can come from the smallest of places and do the most damage. How many of you have ever bitten into an apple and found a worm at some point in time in your life? Some of you have. Some of you have gotten your apples from like Publix and they use pesticides and waxes and all that kind of stuff. You don't see those very often. But if you've ever gone out and pulled an apple off the tree, what's the likelihood of a worm being in there? Pretty high, right? Do you guys know that worms, they don't think, go through the skin of the apple? Have you ever noticed this? That worm didn't come through the skin. Where did he come from? Yeah, the seed. Scientists believe that a bug will land on the apple blossom and lay an egg for that worm so that when you bite open that apple and you find that worm that's been inside there living, he was in there all along. He didn't have to go through. He was already there. Now think about that for just a second. Because our sinful nature was already there, the question is, are you going to feed it? Are you going to let it control you? And the real question is, are you going to know the good news of Jesus Christ in your life, and you're going to be equipped through his word and through prayer to go out and share it, and are you actually going to do it? Now, I posed this question to a young adult small group about 5 or 6 months ago and was just like, God has set us up to go out and to share the gospel. And one of them looked at me and said, "Why?" I was like, "What do you mean, why? It's right there in the Bible." And he goes, "Well, why? He's God. Why does he need us to go and do this? He's God." And honestly, it started a pretty lively debate. But the truth, we finally narrowed it down to, was that We're his children, and we are the best plan of how to deal with sin in the world. God has equipped us to go out and to serve and to go out and share and to go out and be his voice in a dark place. We are the best plan. Frankly, y'all, we are the only plan. And I love what it says in Romans chapter 10, because it talks about having beautiful feet. Now, I don't know if you are going to look down at your feet right now and think, wow, these are beautiful. Some of you, please don't. Some of you, and you know who you are. However, this is what the scripture says. Look at it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are all the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. Y'all, the simple reason that God equips us and that God is so good to us and the way that he changes us is so that we can go out and tell other people about him. We are the best plan. We are the only plan. And he will equip you even in circumstances that you don't think you're ready to handle. But there's a key to all this. The fire inside of you that you have for the Lord has to be stoked up so hot so that you're willing to go out and share with everyone that you meet. If y'all can't tell from just hearing me for a few minutes, I get excited pretty easy. If I'm pumped up about something, you're gonna hear about it. Whether it be Jesus Christ, Jeeps, Star Wars, whatever it is, you're gonna hear about it. You're gonna know everything about it because I love it so much, I feel this burning fire inside of me that I want to share it with you. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. It says, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is like a heart, like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Y'all, when we get excited about something, do you tell other people about it? Have you ever been to a new restaurant and it was really good and you told everybody? Have you ever been to a new restaurant and it was really bad and you told even more? Have you ever seen a new movie or you saw a new TV show and you're like, oh, this is so good. I read this new book. It is so good. Well, I'm telling you that God is so good. His Yelp reviews should be amazing. We should be telling everybody about him. But yet often we hold it in. We'll tell somebody about a new restaurant or a new recipe that we tried, a new TV show. We'll tell somebody about a new book. We'll tell them all these things. But yet when it comes to telling them about Jesus, we'll hold it in. We need to tell everyone how good our God is, even in our worst days. That's the truth. We need to tell everyone how good our church is. If you want to see the pews filled here, you know how you do it? You tell people about Kennesaw United Methodist. And you tell them this is a church family that they can be a part of. That they will hear the word of God and they can worship here. This is an opportunity we all have to share how good God is. Y'all, 2020 and 2021 were some of the worst years of my life. Absolutely. But yet, God was still good. He was still faithful, and he continues to be even to this day. Today has not been the greatest day in my own life, but yet God is still good, and I can still be up here telling you all about it. Because that joy that burns deep inside of me burns hot for the Lord, and I want to tell everybody I meet. Check out what it says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 19. It said, Jesus called out to them and says, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Now, the late Sam Shoemaker, he was an Episcopalian bishop. He summed up the situation in this way, and I want to read it to you. He said, "The Great Commission, the Lord has called us to be like Peter, to be fishers of men." He said, "But for most churches, this has changed over the years." He says, "We've turned the commission around," and he says that we've become keepers of what he calls the aquarium. That we move fish from one aquarium to the other, but we're really not bringing new fish in. Y'all, the first time I read that, kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. But I don't disagree with him. We are called to be bringing people in. That should be our constant prayer. That for people to come to know God, and for people to come to know this church, and for people to come to know him in a close way that they are journeying with him in all ways. When we look at that Matthew chapter 4 scripture, we see that there's three components to it. There's the come part. You need to come with me. Now, you're sitting in a church on a Sunday morning. I'm assuming you're already there. That you've said, "Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life, and I want to be where you are." You've got that come part down. Then it says to go and follow. Now, that one trips people up. I've met an awful lot of people in my life who've said, "I want to know Jesus. I want to know him intimately." Okay, cool. You need to accept him into your heart. And they're like, "Great." I was like, "Now you need to put away your sin and go live a life for him." And they're like, wait a minute. I have to go live a life for him and I can't do the things I did before? No, that's not how it works. I don't know if I'm good with that. When we say we come and then we follow, following means you're like walking hand in hand. You're walking along with. You're traveling with. Y'all, I'm blessed that I have two beautiful kids. Now, one of them has hit those wonderful teenage years, but still, when we walk into new buildings or we walk places, she will still grab my hand and want to be guided by her dad. Now, her little brother is still small enough that most of the time he grabs my hand and wants to be guided by his dad. I'll tell you what, though, y'all, if we want to live a life for the Lord, we need to be reaching up and grabbing his hand and letting him guide us in. We need to come. We need to follow. But that last part's really important. It's the go. It doesn't say come, follow, and stay right where you are. It's come, follow, and go make disciples. That's why the Word of God equips us. That's why he puts it deep into our hearts so that then we can go and share it with other people. That go part is really, really important. He says, go and be fishers of men. Now, I enjoy fishing, but I'm not very good at it. Just being honest. I will go out, and if my buddy is there, he will catch 17 bass, and I'll catch 2. I'm just not great about it. But I like going fishing with him because he has a big glitter paint bass boat. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's red. There's glitter in the paint, so it shines off the water, and it goes 50 miles an hour out on the water. Yes. I don't know why we need to go 50 miles an hour to catch fish that can only swim about 2. But we're going fishing, and we're going to get there what? Fast. It's funny to me that we will spend so much time, effort, and energy to go out on a boat, to go out on the lake, to fly at 50 miles an hour and pray that we don't hit anything in the water and make a sink just to catch fish, but yet ask the same people, "Hey, would you go with me to talk to this person about Jesus?" And then there's a hesitation. Y'all, we are called to be what? Fishers of men. Now, here's the thing. It's called the good news for a reason. And God will equip you to share this good news, and he will give you the right words to say. A few years ago, I had a church member call me up and said, "Can you go visit my son-in-law in the hospital? He's dying of cancer. He only has a short period of time." And of course, I'm a pastor. I said, "What? Yes." She did not tell me when I got there. He doesn't like pastors. He's not a believer. Matter of fact, he said words to me that I don't often hear as a pastor when I tried to walk into the room. Basically, he told me to get out, but he used some more colorful metaphors, if you know what I mean. So I left. You don't have to tell me twice. That afternoon, I get another phone call from my friend who says, "Did you go and talk to my son-in-law?" I said, "No, he wouldn't let me in the door." She says, he doesn't have much time left. I said, I know. She says, would you go back and try again? Yes. This time I did a little different, though. When I walked up to the door, it was about 6 o'clock at night. Visiting hours are over at 8. I walked up to the door, and I said a prayer before I walked in. I was like, Lord, give me the words to say, and it'd be really nice if he didn't kick me out. So I walked in the door, and he had the curtain pulled up. I said, hi, can I come in and talk to you? And he said, who are you? I said, I'm your mother-in-law's pastor. And he's like, you again? I was like, this is going well. I said, yes, me again. I just want to come in and talk. He's like, are you going to try to save my soul? I was like, not if you open up with that, no. But I was like, why don't we just come in and talk? So I pulled back the curtain. I sat down beside him, and we talked for the next 2 hours. 2 hours. Right about 8 o'clock, the nurse came in. She's shutting everything down. He's about to kick me out. She says, oh, is this a family member of yours? He says, no, this is my pastor. I was like, well, that's an improvement. It was an improvement when I got to sit down, honestly. At the end, I looked at him and said, can I pray for you? And he said, yes, I'd like that. So I went over and put my hand on his shoulder, and I prayed over him. And I would love to tell y'all that he accepted Jesus Christ right there. He did not. But he did let me pray over him. And as I was walking out, I was about to close the curtain again, and he stops me and says, Pastor? I said, yeah. He says, you got to tell me the truth about something. And I'm thinking we're about to have a very deep theological conversation. And I said, what would you like to know? He's like, is this the longest time you've ever spent talking to a naked man? And I said, yes. You've got the record. Because I didn't mention that at the beginning, did I? When I pulled back the curtain, no clothes, just a bed sheet. And I was like, do you need to change? And he's like, no, I'm good. Lord, I said I'd do. I said I'd go. Y'all, he passed a couple of days later. I ended up preaching his funeral. I would love to tell you that he accepted Jesus. I don't know. But I know in those 2 hours, I walked in through the door not knowing what to say, and God said, I will equip you, son. All I had to do was follow. He will do the same for you. So whatever situation you find yourself in, I want you to have an answer for why you have so much joy. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 is one of my favorite scriptures. It said, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. If this people speak against you, they will be ashamed, for they will see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Y'all, the best way to share the gospel and to share your faith is to live a life that is worthy of it, to live a life that exemplifies it, so that people see you, they see that joy inside you, and they go, what joy do they have? I need it too. So don't be afraid if God asks you to go out and share the gospel. He will equip you. Don't be afraid if he puts you into situations that you're like, I don't want to handle this. He will equip you. Don't be afraid if he puts you into rooms with people that you're like, they don't even want to talk to me. Sometimes it's not the talking that makes the difference. Sometimes it's just the being there. These are opportunities that God will put in front of every single one of us. But we have to be willing to come and follow and go and be equipped with the word so that we can go out and do his good works. God has equipped us. He gives us his word to inspire us. So church, guess what? In a few minutes, service will be over and you're going to leave. That means you get to do what? You get to go. And there will be opportunities for you to share that good news. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the way it changes our hearts. It changes our minds. It changes everything about us. It puts a fire deep inside of us. It burns up into our bones, like it says in Jeremiah, that we can't ignore. We have to let it out. Lord, I pray for those opportunities for all of us. for all of us to have those opportunities when someone says, I want to know why you have joy, and you can say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you the good news. Let me explain to you why this means so much to me that I dedicate my life to it. Lord, for all of us in this room, I pray that is our prayer today, that you will give us all opportunities, that you will lift up our voices to praise you, that even when things are the worst, even when things are the hardest, we can still say, God is so good. Lord, give us those opportunities. Equip us to be your children and to be your hands and feet and your light in a dark place. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.